We're talking about guidance again today. Probably the most prevalent question I get is, how do I know God's guidance for my life? How does God lead us? So last week, I gave you an outline of seven principles of guidance, and they're really simple. First was scriptural confirmation. What does the Bible say? Whenever we need to make a decision in our life, and by the way, we all make decisions and we're all going to fail, but our decisions don't have to be final. They don't have to be permanent, all right? So we want to give seven principles of guidance. And last we mentioned scriptural confirmation. What does the Bible say? That's the most important thing about our decisions. But secondly, godly counsel. After we go to God's Word, which is the fundamental and the foundational place we're to consider and consult for God's moral will and purpose is His Word. Second, godly counsel. What about the wise people in your life that you bring together? Did you know we pointed out last week, even Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, had godly counselors. Even Solomon had counselors. If Solomon had counselors, I need a counselor too. So we need God's Word, of course, first and foremost. That's our foundation for faith and practice. But secondly, godly counsel. Third, prophetic confirmation. Did you know God will use other people to speak to you with regard to guidance in your life? Then we looked at the inner witness. Romans 8:17 says, you'll know by the Holy Spirit on the inside whether something's right or not. There is a subjective element involved, you know? Have you ever just been around someone, you say, I just don't feel comfortable around them? I don't know what it is. You can't quantify it. You just know. Your inner witness is important. It isn't everything, but it is important. There's an inner witness of the Spirit who lives within you, the Holy Spirit who will say, You know, you don't trust your ticker, get there quicker. You know, trust your gut. Sometimes your head tells you one thing, but your spirit says there's something wrong with them. Something wrong with this. You ever been in a business deal or something and everything looks right and something says, That's the inner witness. Next to that, there's the peace of God. That means we need to exercise our moral conscience in order to calibrate, is this situation moral? And the more of God's Word we learn and the more wise counsel we surround ourselves with, the more our conscience literally becomes mature enough to, in every given situation, calibrate whether this is a moral issue or a wisdom issue. Did you know some issues in your life are not immoral? They're wisdom. Well, that's not even a moral issue. Whether you eat meat or not is not a moral issue. It may be a wisdom issue for you, right? But you need to discern between moral and wisdom issues. That involves the peace of God. Then we mentioned last week provision. Where God guides, He provides. Where He leads you, He will supply. Now, usually the last minute, 11:59 and 59 seconds. I call Him the 11th hour God. He comes in at exactly the right time, all right? So we want to line up as many of these as we can, but this morning I want to talk about circumstances. Because the seventh type of component in God's guidance are circumstances. And did you know it's really hard to read the circumstances in our lives sometimes? But they are speaking to us all the time. And we need to learn to listen to the circumstance. The word circumstance is made up of two words. It means that which surrounds you right now. God is speaking in your life through that which surrounds you right now. But it's always, sometimes it's confusing. So we're going to look at six types of circumstantial storms this morning just to acclimate you with regard to how God may be guiding you right now and how to have an ear open to what He's saying. Because He may be leading you, but you're not listening to Him. You know, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? That's what we can call this message, right? You know, because circumstances are confusing. I heard the story of the guy that said, well, my friend's plane engine failed. And the guy went, oh, no. He said, yeah, but he had a parachute. And he goes, oh, thank God. And he says, but the parachute didn't open. And he went, oh, no. And he said, but there was a bale of hay. And he said, thank God. And he said, but there was a pitchfork in the bale of hay. He said, oh, no. He said, but he missed a pitchfork. And he said, oh, thank God. He said, yeah, but he fell and broke his neck. Oh, no. You know, sometimes we're looking at your life and we're thinking, is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? What does this mean? It's hard to connect the circumstantial dots of our life. I'll give you that. So I'm not going to give you hard and fast rules, but I'm going to give you six types of circumstantial storms that may be blowing right now. Now, for a text, I have a little verse from Numbers chapter 22 I want to read you about Balaam. Verse 31 says, then the Lord let Balaam see the messenger of the Lord who was standing in the road with his sword drawn. So Balaam knelt, bowing with his face, touching the ground. The messenger of the Lord asked him, why have you hit your donkey three times like this? I have come here to stop you, because the trip you're taking is evil. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away from me, I would certainly have killed you by now, but spared the donkey. What is this? It's the story of Balaam. He's a sorcerer type guy in the Old Testament. And he was on his way to do the wrong thing. And he was riding his donkey, and an angel of the Lord appears with a sword to kill him. But Balaam doesn't see it. Did you know there's a lot going on in our lives that lesser types may see, but we don't see in our circumstances? The donkey saw the angel. So it says that the donkey pulled away from the road, and Balaam didn't see a thing. So he starts hitting the donkey. The sermon could be called Stop Beating Your Donkey. Sometimes we're beating the very circumstances God is trying to use to keep us from death. Sometimes we're criticizing and cursing and beating the very circumstances that God is trying to use to save our lives. See, it's hard. Balaam was going the wrong direction. Ever been going the wrong direction in your life? And the circumstances went against him. Notice, it goes from bad to worse. The donkey first moves out of the way, and Balaam gets mad. You know, you get mad when things don't go your way. First thing is, civilization rests lightly on us. Just say no to somebody, and you'll see, you know, Lord of the Rings, right? Bring the ring in front of somebody, and you'll see what's still in them, right? Just say no. How someone handles your no tells you all you need to know about them. Balaam is going the wrong way on his donkey. The donkey sees the angel about to kill him, but Balaam doesn't have vision. Did you know the circumstances you see in your life are guided by an unseen hand right now? So sometimes we need to listen to our circumstances and interpret properly what they're saying. In Balaam's situation, he's riding the donkey. The donkey sees the angel. First, he moves out of the way, and Balaam starts hitting him. Then he rubs his leg up against the wall. Sometimes circumstances have bone-crushing consequences. Balaam is not a happy camper. This donkey doesn't make sense. He grinds his ankle against the wall. That's one mad prophet. He starts beating the donkey. Finally, the donkey realizes, I can't go left or right. That angel's about to kill us. And he sits down, and Balaam's beating the donkey, and then the donkey starts talking. Did you know, first, only time in the Bible a donkey tells a jackass what to do. Did you know your circumstances are speaking to you, and they may be braying to you, but they may not be telling you what you want to hear right now? So we've got to be sensitive and be willing to not beat the donkey. The donkey says, what are you beating me for? And Balaam says, because you didn't do what I want. And he says, I've been your donkey all these years. Have I ever done this before? And he goes, no. I mean, he's talking to the donkey. The donkey can not only talk, he can count. You beat me 3 times. God will bring talking donkeys into your life. Your circumstances can be braying at you, but you are not. You're just mad and angry and vicious against the very thing God's trying to use to save your life. The text we read, he said, if you had not stopped, a donkey saw what was going on. You know, there's some people that you consider of less intelligence that see more than you do about you. Let's be teachable, okay? You get the gist. So that's our text. Circumstance. Don't beat your circumstances. There are some circumstances that speak to us, and there are others we speak to. Now, let me tell you in life with regard to guidance. The circumstances you speak to are the ones that have to do with moral issues. If you're led into moral sin, you say, shut up in the name of Jesus, and you kick the door in. And you speak to the circumstance. You say, get out of my way. Get thee behind me, Satan. Remember the woman tried on the mink coat, and the devil said, it's beautiful. She said, get behind me, Satan. He says, it looks great back here, too. You have to rebuke the enemy, and you speak to any circumstance that is trying to lead you into moral sin, all right? But all the other circumstances we need to listen to. There are 6 kinds of circumstantial storms. The first we're going to look at in your bulletin. Take a look. They're all here, so you can take them home. By the way, this message is worth its weight in diamonds. I'm just saying. I had to live all this, so you better appreciate this and not be there, you know, kind of through, it was all right. Last week was better. Listen. The first kind of circumstantial storms are the Jonah storms. The book of Jonah in the Bible, these are the storms that are about your moral sin. These are the times in life circumstantially when you shoot yourself in the foot. Jonah was told to go and do something, and he went the opposite direction. Have you ever done the opposite of what God told you to do? God said, go to Assyria, go to preach to Nineveh, and he went, sure, and he got on a boat and went to Tarshish, the opposite direction, shot himself in the foot. There are circumstantial storms in our lives that we cause by our own sin. Someone say amen. It's us. It's not the devil. It's not your mama. It's you. You know the hole principle. When you find yourself in a hole, quit digging. You got yourself into this. You shot yourself in the foot. You can't blame your multi-generational purses or your multi-generational curses or mom, or it's you. So some circumstances are just you bringing trouble on you. Now, in that case, in Jonah's case, these storms can have a redemptive conclusion. Remember, God sent a storm after Jonah and a Jonah eating fish. It doesn't say whale in the Bible. It was a fish with gastronomical interests only in prophets named Jonah. God can make heaven and earth. He can send a fish after you. And by the way, it was an unusual prayer hotel for Jonah. He was swallowed up in a prayer. I mean, that was a unique prayer, constricted prayer closet for a while. You know, God will put you underwater. Did you know Jonah, when he sinned, it says he went down to Nineveh, down into the ship, down into the belly of the ship, down in the water, and down in the belly of the fish. When you sin, you go down, 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 down. And you pay the ticket, and you never get where you're going. I've never been there myself. I just heard that's how it happened. Now remember, Moses' mother lost her baby, but she was paid to nurse him. When God's sending you somewhere, he'll pay your way, and you'll get where you need to go. Her baby was taken, but they found out she needed to be nursed, and Moses' mother got paid to nurse her own baby. How many of you know we're serving a big God? But Jonah's circumstances are the ones you caused with your sin, but they can have redemptive conclusions. The operative word for direction is repent. If it's a Jonah storm, I don't care what you've done. I don't need to hear the details. I'm fighting my own stuff mentally. Just repent. All right, just say, Lord, forgive me with your blood. But the second kind of storms that we have after Jonah storms that we cause, I call them the disciple storm. These are storms that just develop your ability to trust God and depend on God. Remember, Jesus put the disciples in the boat and he said, go to the other side. And it says the wind and the waves blew up and they were rowing and the water was coming in the boat. Did you know some storms come into your life and they have nothing to do with your personal sin? It's just God strengthening you. He's adding another 30 pounds on the bench press. It's just developing character. It's developing your ability to trust him. Your circumstance right now may be disciple storm. It may be just a time where there's no personal sin. God's just developing your muscles. In the case of that one, the operative word for direction is endure. You don't need to repent. You just need to endure. Row in the power of the last word God gave you when you're in a disciple storm. See, the devil's always tell you there's some sin in this. Sometimes it isn't moral sin. You've looked at everything, known and unknown, confessed, unconfessed. You're looking for trouble in your life. And that's not what it's not a Jonah storm. It's a disciple storm. So in that case, you simply want to learn everything you can about the maturity God's tried to work in you. Amen? Third kind of circumstantial storm is Paul's storm. These are storms that open up opportunities for greater ministry. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul's on a boat. He's in a shipwreck. The ship goes down. I'm talking to someone whose ship is going down. He wound up with the ship broken to pieces, and he's floating on a piece of wood. And it didn't look too promising, but it floated him right into Malta. Some circumstantial storms in your life right now, it's not a result of sin. God's not even developing character. He's opening wider doors for ministry. But sometimes he has to bring circumstantial storms to get you where you need to be. Now, I know this is not a popular message, but I have to live all of these, so you have to listen. I am a credible voice. Either I just lived this, I'm in the middle of it, or I'm just starting this week. So you better appreciate this. All right. Paul's storms are storms where it's not moral sin. You're not learning a lesson, but you're getting a wider opportunity. See, Paul didn't know it when the ship went down, but he was holding on to a piece of wood that was going to take him into Malta, and eventually his journey was going to wind up with the very Praetorian Guard that protected Nero Caesar himself. Paul was going to wind up within the emperor's ear. Did you know God may bring a storm into your life? It's a Paul storm. It's got nothing to do with moral sin or developing your moral character. It's widening an opportunity for him to open new doors for you. Shall I go on? Next, fourth, Stephen storms. Ooh, these are storms where there's going to be a loss for the greater good of the kingdom. Stephen was a deacon, the Bible says, in Acts chapter 7, and he preached his first sermon and was stoned to death. Isn't that great to start a ministry? You launch your website, you preach your first sermon, and you're killed. A Muslim terrorist or whoever shoots you in the head. You know, in Jesus' name, amen. Stephen just was stoned to death. Read the story. It's a little depressing. You initially look at it and go, that's no way to launch your TV ministry or radio ministry, oneshotdealministries.org. But listen, God, don't tell me God's not going to kill somebody. God gave a deacon to get an apostle. Did you know while Stephen was preaching his final sermon and just before they killed him, it says that Saul of Tarsus was listening. You know, there's some people watching your life you don't know, and they're listening to your words, and you don't know it. And you know, God was willing to give a deacon, Stephen, to get an apostle, Saul. And God will sometimes allow circumstances to end in the death of something to bring about a greater good. Don't say, my God's a good God. Who put leprosy on Miriam? Come on now. God will give a deacon to get an apostle. Anyone want to be deacon today? We're going to have a deacon's meeting right after church. Stephen, storms are storms where God is willing to let something die to get something greater. Yeah? Jesus, our Lord, died on the cross to harvest the greater good of all the men, women, boys, and girls the Father saw in his heart. So I want you to know sometimes the circumstantial storm is a Stephen storm. Sometimes somebody dies. Sometimes something dies. Sometimes something precious goes in order that God would get something greater. And I'm going to leave that right where it is. Next one, let's get off the Stephen storm. You said, I like the second one from the top. Go back to, no, we're going through. The way out is the way through. So there are Jonah storms that you cause, and they're started sinfully with redemptive conclusions. Repent. A disciple storm develops your greater maturity and trust. The guidance word is endure. In a Paul storm, you hold on. That's designed to open greater opportunities. Stephen storms, there's a glorious loss for the greater good. Die well. You know, there's just a time to die well. There's a time to just say, okay, I give this up. You know what I mean? Just, you know, be Hemingway. Just go, let the ship go down with a stoic, you know what I mean? Don't go, oh, Jesus, God, Hemingway. Sometimes you die well because there's people watching how you live and how you die. You know what I mean? So there are times when God will give a deacon to get an apostle, and don't think he won't. So he'll let something of value die in your life in order to give a greater value of something. And we don't like that principle of brokenness, but here's how it works. The seed falls into the ground and dies, but if it does, it cracks, it opens, and new life emerges. You got to crush the grain to get the bread. You got to crush the clouds to get the rain. You got to crush the grape to get the wine. You got to crush the olive to get the oil. You got to crush the rose to get the fragrance. You got to break the alabaster to release the fragrance into the room. Did you know that God will use the breaking of a lesser thing to release a greater thing? Amen? That may sound real complex, but you're living this. You know what I'm talking about. Ouch! Something's dying. You know what? Some things need to die. The problem is the only good flesh is dead flesh, and you know, the Bible says Satan's a snake in the Garden of Eden and a dragon in Revelation. Somebody's feeding him, you know. And he's feeding on your flesh is what he's feeding on. So you know, God will allow the flesh in us to be exposed. He will allow the gold to be melted under severe heat to release the impurities, expose them, and take them away. I don't like any of this, but I'm just telling you the truth. All right, that's my job. What you do with it is yours. All right, next. The fifth kind of circumstantial storm are the Job storms. These are storms where the mystery will never be revealed this side of heaven. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Did you know there are some secret things? Loved one, there are some circumstantial storms. If they're Job storms you're going through right now, there's no pat answers that can help you. There's no math equation to solve. Solve for. No. There's nobody. Well, be glad you had her as long as you did. Do you know there's a book called The Grief Recovery Handbook that tells you the 10 things you never say to anybody going through a loss? And it's all the stuff we say to one another. Be glad they went the way they did. Be glad you had them as long as you did. Time will heal all wounds. Everything you say is wrong when someone's grieving. There are mystery times. There are Job circumstantial storms. I don't know why your baby died. I don't know why your husband betrayed you. And no one else does but God. And he's not talking about the mystery to that history in this world. I don't like that. I wish I could rewrite that in the Bible. I've got the New American Double Standard Version with has a pair of scissors. I want to cut out all the things I don't like. But you know what? It's God's word. God's in charge. And I don't know why. And sometimes you read the book of Job. Nobody knew why. His friend, Job lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his farm. He lost his goods. He lost his health. He lost everything. And his friends initially came and laid down with him and put on sackcloth and ashes. That was good initially. But then they opened their big mouths and tried to explain it. You know, when you're in pain, you need someone to be a presence in your life. You don't need someone to teach you. You don't need someone to talk. You don't need someone to try to explain a mystery. See, Job's seasons and circumstantial storms are mysteries. I don't know, and you don't. I have a dear pastor friend who just, his daughter died recently. Mysteriously ill, dead within a few hours. Godly man. Wonderful man. And someone in his congregation came up and said, "Pastor, why did that happen?" And he said, "Who cares? Will that bring back my girl? Will knowing why she was allowed to die bring her back?" Loved one, when you're in a Job storm, don't try to comfort anybody. Don't try to answer any questions. Just lay down with them. Put on sackcloth and ashes. That means weep with them that weep. And don't try. The secret things belong to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? So, see, it's better to just be a presence in somebody's life, like myrrh in the wound, than trying to chatter like Job's friends. "Well, there's sin in your life," or "you didn't believe enough." You know what? Sometimes, loved one, it has nothing to do with your sin. And it has nothing to do with developing moral character, though it may. And it has nothing to do with getting you to a better place. And it has nothing to do with losing a lesser thing to getting a greater thing. Sometimes it's just a mystery. Let's learn to be silent when we need to be silent. So you see, these are helpful principles. If it's your sin and that's your storm, then repent. If God's just, it's a disciple storm, he's developing your muscles, just endure. It's a Paul storm where he's opening wider doors and you're floating on a piece of wood and just keep believing, you know, just hang on. Just hang on. Just hang on. It's going to be better. If it's a Stephen storm where something's dying for something greater to be emerging in your life, it's okay. Let it happen. Just say, "Thy will be done," even if it looks funny and it looks stupid preaching one sermon and dying. And it may look silly in your life, but God's got a plan. And you know, the final circumstantial storm after Job storms are, I call them Christ storms. They're just storms where you're getting flack because you're doing the right thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was here as the God-man to redeem the world. And guess what? He got conflict everywhere he went. Sometimes the circumstantial storm is giving you conflict and garbage just because you're doing the right thing. And we've got to be willing to do the right thing and realize that it's often proof we're doing the right thing that we're getting stressed out and we're getting a sign, "I can't believe they're attacking me." Well, you know what? If you walk the right way, you're a salmon swimming upstream, honey. You're going to get some pressure. You've seen those things beating themselves again, getting up. We are swimming against the course of the age, and we're obeying God and standing for his name. And if you do, you're going to get the garbage kicked out of you sometimes. And sometimes it's a storm circumstantially that has no lesson other than attaboy, attagirl. To avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. So see in our lives, scriptural confirmation. What does the Bible say? Godly counsel, what are all your friends that are wise say? Prophetic confirmation, what is the Holy Spirit saying through other people to you? What about provision? Is God making provision for the thing? What about your inner witness? What do you feel about it? What about the peace of God? How's your calibrated conscience? Is there anything giving you a moral about this? And finally, circumstances. The things around us that are speaking to us. See, if God is speaking through our circumstances, we don't want to be like Balaam and be blind and beat our donkey. We don't want to beat to death and criticize and be angry at the very circumstances that might be keeping us from death. But what we want to do is humble ourselves like Balaam wouldn't, and we want to say, "Lord, open my eyes like you did finally, Balaam. I want to see if there's an angel with a sword about to kill me. I want to see if the donkey I'm riding should be going east, west, north, or south." See, the first step in the journey of guidance is being open to God and saying, "Lord, I'm willing to hear whatever you're saying." Don't say, Lord, speak, but say what I want to hear. Say, Lord, speak, and thy servant will hear. Even if it means I'm going to perceptibly lose something in the short term, in the long term I'll gain by obeying you. You know, circumstances are hard to read because where you are right now is not where you're going to be in a month. Where you were 2 months ago is not where you are today. Circumstances are like the weather in LA. If you don't like it, wait a minute. It changes. So I want to encourage all of us this morning that we want to have eyes that are open, ears that are open, hearts that are perceptive to read the circumstances around us right now properly. And these six types of circumstantial storms can be a grid through which you this week can sort of, you know, examine your situation. Maybe one of these is a bullseye. Maybe it's clearly sin in your life. You brought it on yourself. Oopsie doodle. Okay, repent. There's a way out. There's an operative guidance word. Whether it's endure, whether it's hold on, whether it's keep going or repent, God has a way of narrowing the lane of our lives down to where he wants us to be. And he'll use circumstances to do it. Now, I want to pray for every one of us right now that God would give us eyes. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would open our eyes to see the true nature of our circumstances, that you will open our ears and hearts, Lord, to perceive and correctly interpret what's going on around us. We don't want to beat our donkeys. We don't want to, Lord, oppose the very circumstances that are keeping us from death. We want to have open eyes and hearts to see what the Spirit is saying, Lord, to see what your word is saying, to hear godly counsel in our lives, to surround ourselves with safety nets, Lord, so that we will make mistakes, but not lethal ones anymore, not fatal ones anymore. And Lord, we ask with humble hearts, guide us, lead us, and open the way before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen and praise God? Give him some praise. Isn't he wonderful?